Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, this is Doug Aldrich with the Dead Daisies, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire, and rock is not dead.
Hi, I'm Donnie V. You're listening to Cobras and Fire, and hopefully not Cobras on Fire, because that would be a pretty dangerous thing out there.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's rock and roll comedian Don Jameson. You're listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast. Rock is not dead. No, it's not. I don't care what Gene Simmons said. Rock is not dead. It's very alive. So pay attention and crank it up.
This is John Levin from Dokken here, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire. Rock's not dead, so rock on.
Hey everybody, it's Ron Young from Little Caesar, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire. And remember, rock is not dead.
Hey, this is Marty McCoy from The Lonely Ones. Rock is not dead.
Hey everybody, this is Michael Sweet of Striper, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire. And I want to tell you also, rock is not dead.
Hey everybody, this is Jean-Paul from the band Clutch, and we want you to know that rock is not dead.
Hey everybody, this is Ron Hauser, the Metal God from Judas Priest, and you're listening to Cobras and Fire. Metal is not dead.
You're listening to the Cobras and Fire 2020 Year in Review, Part 1. Because it's not like this shit year can get any worse.
The stuff that are used in, like, you know, for what's that style of fighting you're talking about? I was gonna say Chinese kung fu,
oh, yeah.
Karate.
You know, there's Chinese a lot of, fighting.
Yeah, the Chinese fighting, karate movies. Bruce Lee. You ever notice? No matter whether it's just the fighting itself or like the things like the nunchucks or the butterfly knives. Yeah. There's always a lot of buildup before they do anything. It's like, and then nobody ever seems to get hurt. They take just a shit ton of beating and can just give it back. We're getting a little off topic here. So yeah, not a lot of Christmas stories. I think the funniest thing I heard this year was, I didn't think the Jews ate the pork. But well, how about you, man? How was things for the Loose Cannon family for Christmas this year?
This year was super low key. Basically, we had well, you know, just mentioned is that on Christmas Eve, we had a couple friends over, and one of them was the new boyfriend of one of my wife's friends, and his name was Nacho, and I knew that he was coming over. So I had all kinds of, you know, nacho cheese jokes and things like that ready for him, but I opted not to use them. What do you think?
Yeah, that was a mistake, man.
All right, well, you know, I just was in the Christmas spirit. But the thing I was really disappointed is the other friend was supposed to bring over a boyfriend that I had seen a picture of that, yeah, and apparently they broke up right before, but he had a neck tattoo in the picture, as well as there's two things that I'm an old man about, and that is
two things in my ass.
About facial or things you do to your body as far as piercings and stuff. One of them,
I'm making a bold prediction here. I'm going to be 100% on board with whatever these are because I think one's already going to be a neck tattoo. But carry on.
All right. So first off, neck tattoos. And also the things in the ears that expand like Africans or whatever, but they're
gauges.
Is that what you call them? Yeah. Okay. So this guy had one that wasn't
my
small
son-in-law
ones.
Has one.
I remember that. I forget how big.
Shout out to Logan.
Yeah. Okay. This guy had about like a half to 3/4 inch ones where they're just kind of dangling. And my son, his math teacher has them too. Fourth grade math teacher. And I can't do anything but stare at them when I go to parent teacher conferences. I'm like, what the fuck did you decide to? What I'm saying is there's two things. If you're going to do that to your ears or your neck, that's a big leap for employment. Yeah. Yes.
Well, it used to be. It doesn't seem like it is now.
I think a neck tattoo is still. That's something. I mean,
what about tattoos on your fingers?
But if you go in for an interview, like I knew this realtor that was had two sleeves, just like Tommy, all the way to his wrists and stuff like that. But he had long sleeve shirts, and he could pull it off, you know, during the day, and then he could rock out at night or whatever like that. But a neck tattoo, you got to be like the guy from what's that thing that Fred from Scooby Doo wears all the time, the ascot.
yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay, so you gotta at least have that on if you're going in for an interview. I mean, neck tattoos, that's right before a face tattoo.
Yeah,
in extreme.
I mean, it's definitely not my cup of tea. I'm kind of irritated with how, I don't know, the tattoos in general have jumped the shark, that they don't have any of the meaning that they used to. And yeah, even though it's a lot safer, you know, you used to be worried that people with a lot of tattoos were going to, you know, stab you. Now you're just like wondering if they're going to cook your food right.
Attack entrench in my veins, in an hour I'll be okay. I pray this pain will go away permanently someday. I see more than I should have to. I see this on my own. This song is a poem to myself. It helps me to lay out in case of fire. Pressure clouds and
I used to read the dictionary.
Oh man, you had that right off the top of your head. That's pretty impressive, man.
Yeah, it's actually in some New Age circles, it's considered a thing that affects us and can affect us in some ways. It's otherwise known as the harmonic convergence. When that event occurs, and feeding off that, I came up with a project which I never actually finished, but it was actually Jeff Pilson and I's, one of our joke projects, and we called the band the Harmonica Virgins, and we're kind of a Lilith Fair lesbian New Age band, and you know, it's a play on words with the Harmonica Virgins and the Harmonica Virgins. So, anyways.
That is a deep pun.
Yes. Thank you.
Well done. Before we get into Dirty Shirley, I did want to ask you, you're not, over the years, you know, following your career, you haven't really been known as someone to get into a lot of political discussions in your music or just in interviews and stuff, but you haven't really held back on the most recent administration by some of the quotes I've seen out there. Why the sudden change? Why get out there now, I guess?
It hasn't been a sudden change for me. I've been a political animal for.
I meant outwardly as an artist. You know, I mean, I haven't really seen it in your music much or in interviews.
Yeah, you got to be careful with interviews. You know, you can alienate people, but you can't be afraid to say what's truthful and important. And you know, if you have an audience, that you give a responsibility. Even if you don't, everyone has a responsibility to be a participant in the process and to be aware and to, you know, edify and educate themselves as to what the truth is, so we can base our decisions based on something rational
other than, you know, information. So, I have been an environmental active and politically active person for most of my adult life. And it's been a very challenging thing for me to incorporate my worldview into my music, mm-hmm. because I'm not a singer. And for the most part, not a very good lyricist. As, you know, being a lyricist is being a poet, ideally, and I'm struggle with that. I'm not a natural poet.
Okay.
Like all, or and other people I work with, like London, you know, but I just have, you know, play with words like an instrument. So, but I have been profoundly committed to, you know, pursuing the truth and doing what I can do in my small way to make the world a more just and fair place. So I'm very progressive in my politics, very liberal, and have been very active in environmental circle. But on a musical level, it's been challenging for me to incorporate those ideas into my music because, as I said, I'm not the one delivering the message. You made your first mistake, the way you let me down. You're always on the make, honey. Fire burning in my soul, it comes from deep inside. Talking like you just don't care.
Yeah. Anyway, David Lee Roth. That sounds like Leroth. Loose Cannon's just blown up right now.
Wouldn't you love if there was actually a cover band called David Lee Roth?
French Canadian.
That's right. It was, and then there's another one just called David the Roth.
Oh, maybe something like Jean Paul Leroth.
Continue, please.
Yeah. Anyway, David Lee Roth. That sounds like a country guy.
It does, actually, now when you say it. Yeah. Billy Ray.
Yeah. David Lee. Anyway, so look, it is what it is. It's bad. If you can't admit that, it doesn't. Don't ask me when my record's coming out or where's my tour. What does that have to do with anything? We all have a right to have an opinion, and I don't even think this counts as an opinion. There is no measure that this is good. Other than I bet if you were there and you had a couple drinks, it was probably entertaining and fun. I will say I just saw this morning before we recorded this a more recent show, and it was mildly better. But I know one thing Steven said I did want to hit on real quick was that, well, if we had cell phone videos back in the day, all these bands we thought were great. There is plenty of live footage of all the bands we think are great back in the day, including Van Halen. And it's better. Look, that doesn't. If this was one bad night, I'd get it. But this has been his 20-year trajectory. This is him. This is what you get. And at least, you know, he's lined up on the right tour, it seems like, opening for Kiss. Maybe Paul can help him out.
You want to throw it to me?
Yeah. And before I kick it to you, I will tell you this. If I had one more Paul Stanley tweet, it would be Dave. I know a guy. Live to win. Anyway.
Knows a guy.
You don't sound like you have too much to say on the matter, Luce.
Well, I didn't, but now you got me fired the fuck up. I have a lot to say now.
All right, let's go.
My view is a little more big picture, but first I'm going to go to something you just said. I think you are completely correct. You're not giving an opinion. You are, in a court of rock, showing evidence and letting the jury decide. Any jury, if you took somebody from a – if you took somebody that's never heard of Van Halen before, had never even seen music
Billie Eilish.
Yeah. There you go. And put him in front of it and said, what do you think of this? Go ahead.
No, a girl.
What?
Billie Eilish is a girl.
That's happened since then has made you go, man, I dipped out at the wrong time.
Well, okay, first of all, Baco, tell me what has happened in the Kiss world that is something that would have pulled me back in.
Well, you
remember, I went out on them singing I.
Okay, well, but
on
at
a boat
that time,
with 2,500 other Kiss fans and a girlfriend that was so absolutely wonderful through having to sit through all of that for 5 days.
They played for Sharks. They put on a concert for Sharks, but it turns out
did they do Shark Me?
I knew there was one that was going to be missed.
Right?
Yeah.
Did you do like the Shark and Roll All Night? Or
no, I can't remember what we do. I just did like a Paul Stanley
Cold
rap.
Finn?
Like, I heard some of you hammerheads like that baby shark had the longest fucking tongue in my life. See? That's Christ. Where we went, but Shark Me is good.
Thank you.
But it turns out sharks are more discerning audience than Kiss fans because none of them came. but they had eight. I don't know. Somehow this has to do with like Airbnb. It was an Airbnb promotion. Paul didn't go because he had, you know, he got sick on the cruise.
I heard that Paul was sick. That's.
So they went.
One of the things I've heard recently.
They canceled the Australian tour because of that, right. But this was all part of that. So there must have just been a giant payday that they couldn't get out of. So the three of them flew down there. And did you even see this thing?
No.
Oh, this would blow your mind.
Do you know what they played?
Yeah, shit.
Calling
Dr. Love, I know, was one of the songs.
Oh, okay.
They might have played Shock Me, actually. I think we can pull it up, but. You've seen Jaws, right?
Yes.
The boat they're playing on looks like the boat they went out to kill Jaws with.
The fuck is happening in Kiss World?
And they're just sitting, like, they're just jammed in the back. Yeah. And I made the joke, I was rooting for Shark Jaws to come out and start jumping on it.
Wow.
You know, when I heard it, I thought it'd be like some special like floating stage that they made.
Yeah.
And like the people that were going to be coming, the eight people that got to be part of it, they were going to be like underwater watching the sharks and listening to the concert on special underwater headphones.
Okay.
And what I saw was like the Kiss boat was roped to a boat with a camera crew on it, and the boat with the eight fans on it was roped to the Kiss boat too. Or something.
So what you're saying is this is nowhere as cool as the Warrant Sometimes She Cries video where they're playing to the people in the pool.
Definitely not as cool. This was equally as cool as when they played the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Oh, Christ. Was that the train wreck that they played to the edit that they didn't realize where the edit was that they were lip syncing
to. Yeah,
they,
it's like clearly a studio audio, which, to be fair, all that stuff is. But to me, that's why you don't do it.
Right.
They
could have said no to the Macy's Day Parade.
They sure could. But I remember Paul Stanley at the time, just on that real quick, I remember I got a kick because he's like, we were supposed to be on the – oh, no. We just came out on the Kiss Cruise. Doc McGee was asked about that. I was like, well, they were supposed to be on the Gibson float, but Gibson wanted –
Gibson guitar float?
Yep, yeah, so they must have their own float going, and it was a bigger, cooler float.
Okay.
And it had a Gibson logo on it, but then Paul wanted to they wanted Paul to play a Gibson guitar, and he was, like, at the time endorsed by Washburn.
Okay.
So he couldn't
do
that.
So then he can't be on the Gibson float.
Exactly.
So that's what happened, really?
Yeah. But I love the idea that, like, oh – that shit show would have been fucking way better if they were on a cooler float. If they were on float. The
Gibson, yeah.
The size of the float wasn't the fucking issue.
Yeah, true. That's true. It was that you're lip syncing to a shitty version of Rock and Roll All Night.
Fucking A. Oh, man. But, Paul's voice just gets better and better. His stage rap's even hurt now.
After all these years to come and see all you beautiful people here, we say... from the bottom of our hearts, tomorigato. Really, thank you so much. Here's a chance for everybody to get crazy.
Well, they were hurting for the last 10, 15 years. I mean, that's the other.
Doesn't it seem a little arrogant of him?
Yes. The other part that I have, I mean, again. They can take money for whatever they want as long as people are paying for it. I don't have to like it.
I only buy bootleg shirts.
It's not
now.
My job. Well, there you go. Yeah. But do they not make a cut off the bootleg market anymore like they were during the 80s and the Kiss and Sell book? Chris Lent talking about that story about how they met with all the bootleggers.
I read that book. I don't remember that part.
Oh, I totally remember that part. I always try to get Eric to read that book because I was like, we'll have so much more to mock Kiss about. And he's like, yeah, I'm just not into reading. I was like, but this is a book that pretty much just...
That's a fascinating book.
That book was really like the first eye-opening Kiss book I ever read. Amazing.
Yeah. God, maybe I should read it again. It's been a while.
Yeah, I sold mine. So, but the other thing is like the fans that wouldn't have taken this shit from anybody else. And now since it's Paul Stanley lip syncing, it's like, you know, he's earned this. You know, just let him have this. Yeah, fuck you. You can't say that this guy can do it and this guy can't.
Craig, you're not a true fan.
I'm not. I mean, if he was going out there.
If you were a true fan, you'd accept anything.
If he was going out there and lip syncing to the original 1977 recording, that I'll pay for.
Hmm. All right. On.
I won't. But even
what about
so,
a hologram? That's a Luce loves the holograms.
You know what? I do think that's interesting, and I've often wondered if that's the direction that they'll go in. But since Kiss fucks everything up, I can't see that anything cool will happen.
Yeah.
This will all end badly.
Calling Ticket Shaft, main menu. If you are calling to tell us how much you like our website, press 1.
What?
If you are calling because you had a great time at one of our events, press 2.
Ooh.
If you would like automated help typing in your credit card number, press 3. If you would like to thank us by buying us donuts, press 4.
Who calls for that?
If you are calling for any other reason, please stay on the line. Someone will be with you eventually. Have you tried using our website?
Oh,
go to ticketshaft.com/go-help-yourself.
Yeah, I'm calling you because I've never heard of the internet. Jesus fucking Christ.
I see you are still holding. I guess you aren't taking the hint.
Nope.
Press 0 to speak with a representative. Main menu.
My face, there's a blood that's flowing through the feeling, with a knife to open up the sky's veins. Some things will never change. They stand there looking backward, half unconscious from the pain. They may seem rearranged in the backwater swirling. There's something that'll never change.
So anybody planning to attend any of the concerts that we listed or any other show, they, of course, are going to need to buy a ticket at some point. And the two biggest ticket companies in this country anyway, I'm not sure if it's worldwide, but Ticketmaster and Live Nation, they basically have a throttle hold on all the major artists. They recently made some news towards the end of December when they said tickets are for concerts are too cheap.
I did see that headline, but when I clicked on it, for me to actually read the article, I had to pay 3 fees.
I had to reset my password and then get a verification text.
Right.
But yeah, basically the nuts and bolts is because of the secondary market, you know, with scalping being legalized and places like StubHub and Ticket King basically scooping up, you know, tickets and then reselling them at a higher inflated rates, and bands like Metallica basically working with them to help get another round of cuts from all these ticket sales. Ticketmaster and Live Nation feels like they're just getting pinched, man. It's like, hey, if people are willing to pay this money and all this extra stuff, technically we should be charging more for these, because otherwise the secondary market wouldn't be as thriving as it is. There's some validity to what they're saying, but fuck them. And are people really? I mean, I think eventually by the end of this, we'll kind of broken down. I don't think people are really buying those tickets as much as they're being said. I think it's kind of a loss. I don't know if loss leader is the right term, but, you know, if one person buys a ticket at $300 over the list price, there's probably a handful of people that are getting it close to cost, and they're still making a $300 profit.
I mean, this is just the whole evil empire here. I'm pretty much speechless. I mean, there's a couple things. First off, they are saying that they could command more, but really what's happening is these huge agencies are buying up all these tickets through agreements and things like that, and they know they have back end deals where if they don't sell X amount of them, and these things have been reported, then they can give them back to them at no fee. So that statement is bullshit to begin with. Yeah, for the average idiot, I'm not even gonna call him idiot, for the whole fake reality that's been made, this facade about the demand of the ticket industry, that could be, you know, they could say, hey, this ticket's going for $200 on StubHub and we sold it for $100, so of course people are willing to pay $200. But what they're not talking about is all these things where they, you know, like the whole quote sellouts for the Motley tour or whatever, where it looks like that, where they do have back end deals where they can give them back, and once they've hammered Johnny for $200 a ticket and they're left holding the bag on a few of them, they, because of their relationship, they can give them back without taking a complete bath on the deal. So you know that's a bullshit statement to begin with, right?
Very much so. I mean, These headlines and the way they're shared everywhere, this is really almost just a marketing campaign more than it is news. What they're trying to do is get it in people's heads that tickets are fucking expensive and you're okay with it. It's like when you see these cell phone plan commercials where a dad's kid is running around the yard and life is now suddenly easy because he can get four phones for $150 a month.
Sure.
Wow, that is such a good deal. Hotels. How about those hotel commercials? It's like, yeah, I got this five-star hotel for $98 a night. Now we're conditioned to think hotels are well over $100. I remember about 20 years ago, I read it. We were printing something, and it talked about the average cost of a wedding being $15,000. I have never been to a wedding that cost $15,000. I actually went down the rabbit hole and looked up and found out where they came up with this number, because you factor in the airfare, the limo, the Dracula character that married me, my entire wedding, the whole week, the hotel, everything was just about $1,000. I flew to Vegas, as you know. And not only that, but how many people are getting married in Vegas every day for $20? There's just tons of ways to skirt this. Getting married at your local Justice of the Peace. And again, the weddings I've gone to have typically taken place in a church that probably asked for a few $100. And the food they served was a slab of ham shoved between two pieces of bread. You know, I mean, this wasn't like it was another maybe $200 or $300 to cater to the thing. They have some uncle that took pictures of the whole thing. I'm not saying everybody does this, but there are a lot of people who do that. And I looked it up. Sure enough, the number came from people who hired wedding planners spend an average of $15,000. I'm like, and yet I have literally had debates with people planning. No, you don't understand how much it costs to get a photographer, to get a caterer. It's like, you don't fucking understand. I'm not saying you can't spend well over $15,000. I'm saying no way that's the average. And I was right. And this kind of feels like that. They're just trying to beat it into people's head like, yeah, you know, if you want to go sit in a really shitty seat in a fucking back of a hockey arena to watch Nickelback, it's going to cost you a bunch of toonies and loonies.
Oh, good Lord. I'm just completely confused because I was told the average cost of a wedding was 30.
Ian, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Same to you, man. Back at you. You know that I have a lot of respect for you and Ralph and your show, but you and I have kind of struck up a friendship through kind of Rockin' Pod, and it's something I hold near and dear to my heart.
That's the best way to get to know somebody is get good and drunk with them.
Yeah,
that's how you become buddies.
Find out how fucked up you can get and still hang, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm Irish. I have an amazing tolerance.
Yeah, and Catholic.
Yeah. By birth, not by choice.
Okay. Well, you know, I wasn't sure exactly where I was going to steer the conversations today, because we'll go wherever we want to, but there's definitely one thing I had to start off the evening with. I tried to squeeze it in when I joined your program a while back when we talked about the Aerosmith record Rocks, but I have to ask you straight up, flat out, just you and me.
Okay.
Can you show me on the doll where Sammy Hagar touched you?
Oh, he never touched me, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
it's new stuff to an extent, but it's also in support of beautiful things. It needs to get that needs. I'm not ready to give up on that. It's too good of a record.
Great record, man.
Yeah, and plus we're launching the new live band and everything, and you know, there's a lot of other stuff going down now.
Let me just push pause just for a second because I only have one last question related to the earlier stuff, and then I'm, it's all the stuff you're doing now.
Right.
You sort of touched on it. Does it sound like under the perfect circumstances, you would actually be opening to rejoining Enough's Enough? Yes or no?
I have reached out for the sake of the fans, for the sake of the fun of doing a handful of shows or a string of shows, a few here,
few in the
UK, maybe Japan or something like that. That was just, you know, fell on deaf ears. No, I'm not into that or this and that. And, you know, it all falls along the lines of the personal agenda. I just saw something and, I do believe you have something to do with that, Sleaze Rock or something like that.
Oh, sure.
And they just posted something that was a quote saying that there was an offer for a big tour of getting the original act together with Monaco and stuff like that. And that a couple of those members discussed that before even bring it to my knowledge, stating, nah, it's not worth another 2 weeks of dealing with Donnie V's fucking bullshit and this name. Well, first of all, here's what's wrong with that theory. Those two guys, Vic and Chip, those guys, the number one thing is the spotlight and money. I mean, so that's what's a shoot a hole in that right there. That just had nothing to do with dealing with my personal bullshit, which I've been done, you know, with a lot of that. And I'm hard to work with when you're shady. I'm hard to work with when it's not true and it's not, you know, doesn't have to do with what it's about. Yes, then I'm hard to work with. And I've been in that situation for years and years and years and years that there was a lot of things that are presented that aren't necessarily for the reasons that people would think they're presented, is more for to be a partner, a team player, you know, something like that. And then to, you know, to say all those things and say something like that, which is total lie, you know, because I'd be the first one somebody would reach out and say, hey, listen, we got a opportunity to go make big money and be big for 2 weeks or something like that. There's no way nobody's going to pass on that. You know what I mean? And still, I mean, to this day, there's bands that can't work with each other, guys that can't work with each other. Well, you have a separate hotel room. You just ride in a different van. I'll see you on stage, you know, or shit like that. You know, it's not about writing new stuff. It's about a nostalgia trip. But yeah, I reached out to do that. And still to this day, if we get a lot of these things remedied and rectified, you know, I want to love my big brother, quote unquote, big brother. I want to love that guy. He's, you know, he's done a lot for me in my career, mostly in the beginning. You know, he had a lot to do with the transformation of just little, you know, white trash and turd that went fast track to center stage with something big. And he, you know, he had a lot to do with getting me there to that point, you know. And then things started to unravel and things started to, you know, once I got there, I was like, now I want to evolve. Now I want to take it to the next level. You know, like with the next record, Strength, you know, and things like that, and keep going and keep going and keep going and,
evolve.
And, evolve. And, you know, this as an artist, I'm the artist, you know, as an artist, has a different outlook on things than someone who's not necessarily the artist. You know, that I don't believe that musically or artistically that he's really evolved since then. I don't think that he's really, you know what I mean? And his bass player, if you're not focusing and presenting your strengths, just so to speak, things that you're really strong, your best, then I think you're showing your weaknesses. You know what I mean? And like,
I actually do know what you mean, especially in the reference you're saying.
Yeah, so you get that. And I mean, you get some of these things rectified and some of this stuff where I don't feel like, you know, I can get some of these dicks out of my ass. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, when they say bag of dicks, I got like a case of dicks in my ass. You know what I mean?
So it's like,
but I would definitely, it's for the fans.
Okay.
You know, there's no reason to, for Enough's Enough to get back together to start making records or anything like that. You know, like the original situation, you know, I would help to keep some integrity going and stuff like that. But to actually work in that environment or that particular situation again, it's ridiculous for me because I don't need to. I've never needed to. And, you know, I mean, I own the machine that makes them. I own the Play-Doh pumper. You know what I mean? And so I just put new Play-Doh in it and pump them out. So, yeah, I can move forward artistically in this. Net. There's a few things I cannot move forward without. And that this, if I could, if they didn't stress me out of to the point of where I can't fucking sleep at night some nights thinking, what the fuck? You know, I get something in the, you know, it's just something, somebody sends me something or I see something or I'm just thinking, and one day it's like, what the fuck, man? You know, it's like, so in that respect, you can't move on. But I am moving on. I'm all this time that I'm blasting this stuff out. I'm still, that's, you know, I'm multitasking. Those are just cigarette breaks. You know what I mean? I'm busy at the fuck. I'm at the helm. I'm fucking doing still. You know, just constantly recording and writing new stuff, which is my favorite thing to do. And so it's not like I'm not moving forward. I'm going to, you know what I mean? And if something looks negative or this and that, well, that's because it's negative.
With you know, kind of everything kind of going towards streaming with everything with music, we talked to a lot of artists obviously on this, but you're the first comic I've had a chance to kind of is that a good thing for comedy as far as records and that kind of thing? Does it benefit you maybe more than music, or is it like kind of weird? Or
no, it's just, dude, it's just the way it is. I mean, I don't have, nobody has a choice, you know musicians, comics, you know, anything you put out now, it's, you know, 80% of the sales is, or people are buying, you know, air, basically. So I can't be against that. I do my albums with rock packaging. You know, this is my fourth one. They're all, you know, the packaging is all based on bands that I love. And so for people who are like you and I, who like that, and that's, you know, it adds a little extra humor to it, and obviously some nostalgia. That's great, but you don't have to. You don't have to know that this, you know, this is a Saxon album or a parody of a Saxon album to enjoy the material.
Right.
I always prefer the physical stuff. And to be 100% honest, I'm paying for all the vinyl to be made because I don't care if I sell one of them. I just want my album out on vinyl. So if I have a whole box of vinyl sitting in my house and I don't sell any of it, that's fine.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm down for one. I'll make sure I'll pick one up. But are you a vinyl collector?
Yeah, I haven't bought a CD in 10 years. Just only vinyl, which is, I don't have a lot of addictions, Baco, so. I spent a lot of money on vinyl. That's not a bad vice to have. So
no, it'll probably actually be worth more down the line as opposed to most addictions.
Well, and it's crazy too, man, because I do it for the love of it. And I'm trying to, you know, you try to find original pressings, and oh, I found a German pressing of AC/DC Power Age, and you know, I got a Spanish version of Spanish pressing of Rainbow, Straight Between the Eyes, and I love all that aspect of collecting. But you know, I also log all my albums into an app called Discogs, and that sort of gives you an idea.
I was just going to ask you that. Awesome.
Oh, dude, and it's amazing. Like, I'm like, wow, I have that, you know, like, I have a, you know, a giant pile of money in my house, like, that I didn't realize, you know, how much some of this stuff is worth. So, you know, at some point, I don't have any kids, and I never will, so I got nobody to hand this off to, so, you know, I don't know where it's going, but...
I literally told my wife last night, all you need is my Discogs login information when I die, and then you'll know how much money you can get for which of my records are worth anything. You know what I mean? You don't have to like just right. sell them for bulk for $50 or something. You can get, you know, actual value. But
yeah, my will is on discogs.com.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I have a Kiss collection in storage tubs, and then my vinyl.
There you go. Well, what else would a woman want?
Exactly. I mean, apparently me. She married me, but we'll see how long that holds up. All right. Well, hey, Don, you've been more than gracious with your time at this point. The record Denim and Laughter is out and available everywhere right now, coming out on vinyl soon. I encourage all our listeners to pick up a copy of that vinyl so Don doesn't get stuck with, a few hundred thousand or whatever these things in his basement. But anything else we need to pitch here besides the fact that I broke the story, you're coming to Rockin' Pod?
I think that's it, man. And to be honest with you, I've been doing press for 3 weeks. This is the funnest interview I did, man. So thanks a lot for, you know, I've been on the phone a lot in the last 3 weeks. You made this a lot of fun, man. I appreciate it.
Well, I can't tell you how much that means to me, but I really hope we catch up with you in Nashville. I think you sound like a guy that it'd be fun to share a drink with. So
we shall have a coronavirus curing beer together.
All right. All the best, Don. You have a good night.
You as well.
Cause the sun don't shine. Nobody ever measures the weather to make or break your day. Nobody ever seems to remember life is a game we play. We live in the shadows and we had the chance to throw it away. And it's never gonna be the same. Cause the years have
tonight, the family was over at a friend's house, and you know, they invited us over. At first, it was supposed to be just dinner because we were. I knew that I had the podcast, and it was going to start promptly at 8 p.m. my time. And going out to dinner, I knew that I would have a clean break. But then it shifted to we're going to take out. We're going over to our house. So now there's like more of an open obligation.
At your house
longer.
Or somebody else's?
No, at their house.
Okay.
But that kind of opens up where you have to, you know, dinner is usually wherever you go out is like an hour, hour and a half. Boom, you're out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
a little more tight where you go to somebody's house, things kind of can drag out a little more. The timeline's a lot looser.
That's right. So I had to throw in the fact that I must leave here at 7:30 because I have to do a podcast. Okay. So the point of me telling you that is first off, the guy I've known him. He went to the Bad Religion concert with me last year. We've hung out. He knows I have the podcast. His wife is not so aware of it, but I wasn't aware of the fact that his wife had no idea what a podcast actually was. Still.
Oh boy.
And it still shows how it's still a growing medium, but people don't understand it. So I just want to give you two tidbits that I think you'd find amusing. Is first off, she said, "Well, you know, you don't have to go. Can you just do the podcast from here?" And I said, I just joked. I said, I am a professional. I have acoustic paneling. I have a mic. I have everything like that. She goes, what? He goes, you have a music podcast, right? I go, yeah. She's like, well, can we call in? I go, you can call in.
Not a bad question. Let's be honest.
I know. I go, can you call in? I go, yes, you can call me, but I will not be answering the phone. And she goes, well, how's it work? I go, well, you have to record it, then you have to upload it. I go, really? There's no podcast you listen to? Because it's becoming more commonplace. It doesn't have to be music. It can be anything. And she's like, no. And she goes, oh, so it's a music podcast. She goes, so what are you talking about tonight? And I just made some bullshittery about, well, we're talking about current events and things like that. Where I'm like, well, yeah, let me lay out the subject matter we're talking about. That's why I'm leaving you, because I have to go talk about.
Well, this exchange is coming up. I can tell you that, lady.
That's right. You just were added to the show for content. So that's how prepared we are. But yeah, so there's that people still don't completely understand what podcasts are. They think it's a live thing. They think you can apparently do it in the bedroom. And she's saying, like, can you just do it real quick? I'm like, what do you mean real quick? I'm supposed to go in there and bust out a show in 20 minutes? Do you think I'm doing it? Anyway, so it's still – do you run into that at all if you talk about that?
You know, I don't bring up the podcast a whole lot.
I didn't have to bring it up. I had to bring it up because I had to have my reason.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe that's why I didn't. But yeah, I've had conversations where people were like wanting to know a little bit about the show. But I've been surprisingly blessed that for the most part, when someone finds out, like, oh, you have a podcast? When did you start that? It's like 5 years ago. It's just like, I work with you every day and you've never mentioned this. I'm like, well, you know, you're really not the target audience, boss.
But the point is, she's like, what's the main thing? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm heading back right now because I have to go yell about the album Def Leppard Adrenalize for an hour. Like, oh, even describing that to another human, I felt so ridiculous. I just got to go.
Yeah, it. I dance around it a lot more than you do, I think, when it comes up. But
really, okay.
There's so many people that that I do know socially that know about the podcast that have no fucking clue what I do. They've never listened. They never will. You know, they're just in a different environment when it comes to that stuff.
But we have interviews with people. Interviews with who? Oh, you know, Donnie V from Enough's Enough. Don Jameson of that metal show. What? You know, it's a whole genre of it's just it's like speaking a foreign language.
It really
to
is.
Most human beings.
Well, yes? Don, did you like in the Don Jameson interview where he almost made the same comparison about being on the Monsters of Rock cruise that we did a few episodes back about being on the Kiss cruise? Like, you know, I think it's like, I feel like fucking Brad Pitt. And then
I think he said he was Tatum.
Yeah, that's what he said. I'm fucking Tatum O'Neal or Channing Tatum. He's like, and I get off the thing, I can't get extra breadsticks at Olive Garden, but.
I know, that's right. You have, there's just this one little world where everybody understands what we're talking about, and outside of that, you're crazy. So anyway, welcome to Crazy People.
I wish that I could fly into the sky so very high, just like a dragonfly. I'd fly above the trees, over the seas, in all degrees, to anywhere I please.
When I was 14 or 15 years old, I was in Arizona, and these karaoke booths, I don't know if you remember those. This is before they were really popular, but you could pick a song, go into the booth, and then, you know, they'd have like an instrumental track, and you could play along, you could sing along with it, and then you get a professionally recorded, you know, recording of yourself, you know, studio quality.
I think I remember seeing this at places at amusement parks, like like Kings Island too. You go in there, and it was they're called karaoke booths.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they might have been a brand name or something like that. I don't recall specifically, but
karaoke.
The selection was fairly limited because while I didn't hate Stryper, they definitely weren't my go-to artist. But the one song I was able to find was "Soldiers Under Command," and so I asked if I had it, would people be interested? And of course, there's a bunch of like, yeah, you got to fucking play that or whatever. So if it's all right with you, I'll play just, I don't know, we'll play up. I don't think you need to hear suffer through the whole thing, but I'll get you through at least a chorus of
Baco. This was one of the other reason I said I had to leave early from the party was because we were discussing you doing karaoke to "Soldiers Under Command."
Yeah, there is an unearthed recording of Baco singing "Soldiers Under Command" at the age of 14.
I'm sorry, we have to go. It's live.
I've never heard this before. Oh man. Well,
please.
Yeah. All right. Let me just drop it in here, and then I'll get your thoughts. So yeah, this is. I think I'm pretty sure I'm 14 years old. Looking at the date here, yeah, it's the summer of '85. So I'll play a little bit, and I'll just play it live right now, so you can hear some of it, and then at some maybe right after that, I'll just throw in a maybe a minute of it, a little cleaner audio, so the listener can truly enjoy what was clearly a natural talent.
Go ahead.
Kind of like Christina Aguilera, I would think. So here we go.
This was, just to set the scene a little bit again, this was at a mall, you said? Or
yeah, I was in a mall in Scottsdale, or, I think it was Phoenix proper. It was called, it wasn't the big one. I don't remember which mall it was. But
again, I'm saying, like, did you go in there just by yourself one day with a wad of cash? Or were you
with an
audience?
Mommy had to pay
some
for
buddies?
This for me. Yeah, no. I was like, Mom, yeah, I really want to do this.
But what I'm saying was, any of your buddies watching you do this?
Oh, no. I was in Arizona. I had no friends there. I went out there for the summer to hang out with my mom.
Okay.
And when my parents got divorced, this was like, this is the way my mom appeased me for having to spend
This is you isolated in another state with Stryper is your guiding light.
Yeah. While listening to this and after, it's important to remember, my mom said I did very good.
Okay, let's go.
This is just going to show you the how much you can trust my mom's judgment.
Let's go.
All right, here we go.
Yes. Turn it up, man.
I'm trying to.
I heard it better earlier.
Come on.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Fucking going for it, man.
We are soldiers under God's command. It's two edged sword within our hands. We're not ashamed to stand up for what's right. We are without sin. It's not by our might. And we're fighting.
I would not let you in this army. You have flat feet.
And the good book, it says we'll win. Soldiers.
You're like a young Michael Sweet.
Yeah.
Killing it. I've had enough. You know, you remind me of a young Blaze Bailey, actually.
Oh, zing. Yeah, look out, Michael. I'm coming for you.
Oh, my God. I mean, by the way, I respect your mom more and more just for the fact that she's a great liar.
Yeah, I just think she has horrible taste.
Oh, my God.
All right.
music icon, philanthropist, reality TV star, and RV fanatic Brent Michaels is building a new custom coach tour bus as he heads out in this year's hottest stadium tour. Sold out, by the way, and is making a beautiful custom 2014 Integra Aspire available at a realistic price. Now, first off, at this point, I have read one sentence.
So I didn't read the story. This is not his actual RV that he's unloading. This is like a Brett Michaels model of, I don't know, Winnebago or something like that.
Oh, no, no. This is listen, I'll continue.
Okay.
The RV has logged some 11,165 miles, very precise, touring across the U.S. and Canada.
That's not a lot of miles if you're a touring musician. I'm sorry. The guys in Wilson had 600K on their van.
Listen, this – and then it goes into I'll list the features. But at this point, I've only read a sentence and a half of this article, and I realized, when the fuck did Blabbermouth become Craigslist for rock stars? I didn't know that you could actually go find used vehicles on Blabbermouth. But yet, here it is, and Brett Michaels is the person that's selling it.
Blabbermouth is now Discogs for rock stars selling their shit, or...
I guess so. It goes into all these things. But again, it touts the fact that this is the van that Brett used with both Poison and his solo band.
Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to own not only a great coach at a great price, but a piece of rock and roll memorabilia unlike any other. Brett Michaels, star of the hit show Rock My RV, is true RV people and has always loved his RV way of life. From childhood aspirations to living the dream, Brett Michaels has always been one rock star who truly knows how to roll. Now you can too, in one of Brett's luxury diesel motorhomes, now available to purchase at the number one volume selling dealership in the world, Motorhome Specialist. This 2013 Berkshire Bunkhouse RV is incredibly well-appointed, has very few miles, and comes with a 5-year, 50,000-mile extended service policy. The lucky new owners will also receive 2 tickets to a Brett Michaels concert of their choice, as well as 2 backstage passes to meet Brett himself. And if that's not enough cool stuff, how about a personally autographed Brett Michaels guitar? And if you take the RV to the concert, Brett will also sign the RV itself, so all your friends will know you not only rock, you roll in Brett's RV.
So you will want to have this. This is a selling point. What do you think is left behind inside that RV?
Oh, man. Are you going to find at least a handful of bandanas, maybe kind of soaked up with some kind of fluids? Unused Groupon for vaginal rejuvenation?
For who?
All his
guests. His guests. CC. He just offers them. he just offers vaginal rejuvenation upon knocking on his door.
Here you go, Bobby doll. It's like, this was thoughtful. Wait a second, you got this on Groupon? That's like a going away gift for all the losers on Rock of Love.
Oh,
vaginal rejuvenation therapy.
I'm going to tell you, that right now has to be an album title at some point.
Well, I got a solo career I'm about to embark on, so.
Okay, that's the next band name.
I'll add it to the list. Vaginal Rejuvenation Therapy. VRT, baby.
But, I really have nothing else about that article, just the fact that that description of Brett Michaels, I think, is great. Philanthropist, music icon, reality TV star, and RV fanatic.
Well, I remember when he did that, he had that RV show, Rock, because he's such a Gene Simmons level of being able to name things.
Sure.
You know, Rock of Love, of course, was a ripoff of Flavor of Love. Flavor of Love was a pun. Rock of Love was just a dumbass trying to do the same thing. And then he did Rock Your RV, I think the show was called. And then he did dog sweaters, and they were called Rock Your Dog. But yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm a huge RV enthusiast from years of touring as a member of Poison. It's just like, Jesus Christ. And then it's just, of course, it goes back to being a reality TV show where, for some reason, demolition means, like, you have to just violently remove everything. Yeah.
I remember that was one of the first things we talked about.
Oh, that's right. We've covered it on the show. Yeah, like, we got to remove this seat. Let me just whip it through the wall.
Can I just give the summary of what this RV has in it? that might entice you more to contact him. By the way, if you want to buy this, you have to go to brettmichaels.com directly to email him to buy it. Okay?
Is there a link at genesimmonsvault.com directly to the Brett Michaels website to buy this?
You ready?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, just so you know, this RV features a king-size Sleep Number bed, sectional sofa. You know you want a Sleep Number bed that Brett Michaels has been in.
What's his sleep number, like a 7?
why would he be a 7?
I don't know. Oh, he'd need to be 10, right?
I'm not sure. A sectional sofa made by Flexsteel, dual bathrooms, front and rear with shower, walk-up closet, new carpet, full kitchen with pull-out cooking counter.
Now, is there new carpet because the old carpet was had some like DNA that he needed to make sure wasn't available to the buyer?
Possibly.
You're not making some weird fucking Brett Michaels stripper clones out of carpet, RV carpet DNA? This thing comes out. Yeah, that should be a short. It's like a clump of carpet with a bandana.
Yeah, the carpet used to look like the cover
and
of
a bikini.
Load.
It's like you a. Said? It's a ball of carpet wearing a thong and a bandana.
The old carpet looked like the cover of Metallica Load.
Oh dear God. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. How did you clone this? I cloned this from RV.
I bought Brett Michaels' RV.
Well, congratulations. With this sperm, you'll be able to have a moderately successful and talented child.
There's no way talented. The Brett Michaels DNA strikes gold twice. This we're not talking about John Lennon here.
D-ball. Everybody's talking, no one says a word. Everybody's making love, no one really cares. There's Natchez in the bathroom, just below the stairs. Always something happening, nothing going on. There's always something cooking, nothing in the pot. They're starving back in China, so finish what you got.
Yeah, hey, you know, before we get into all the coronavirus, COVID-19 kind of nonsense that is going to kind of weigh heavy on this, I have a real quick question for you. I found something out today that I don't know. I never thought it was true, but it turns out it is. Did you know that Shlomo is an actual name people give kids?
I do now. Yeah. I mean, I've heard Shlomo. I've never met a Shlomo. Have you?
On Good Morning America today, they did the segment of like how like they've loosened they've loosened up the rules on how veterinarians can prescribe like prescription drugs for your pets over video conferencing, and the doctor they used in the example was Dr. Shlomo something whatever. But I literally like I saw it, I rewound it, I paused it, I made my wife watch it, and I'm like, I was just it was like to me that word was like Joe Schmo, Shlomo.
Sure. Yeah.
So yeah, well fucking apparently people are naming their kid. Well, I mean I would
at some point they did. It was a long time ago.
Well this guy was Hauser. Looked at maybe in his late 30s, early 40s.
All right. Okay.
He's also Jewish.
I do have a related story about a doctor, though, real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So the true story is there is a doctor.
Oh, now once you say true story, we all know it's going to be full of shit.
Because it sounds fake.
And everything that is, you says sound fake. Just carry on.
You know, people should never start conversations with this saying true story. That or, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but because when that person says that, you know – that it's not going to be something you want to hear. You know what I mean? So I apologize. I'm taking both those things out, and I'm just going to start over again, and that is this.
Hey, I'm giving you a hard time. I actually think it's a good way to accentuate the importance. Anyway.
All right. Well, anyway, so this doctor there was a doctor whose last name is K-W-A-K.
Quack?
And, yes, Dr. Quack, which you don't talk about it. If you're going to change your name, if your last name is Quack and you're a doctor, change your profession or change your name.
It's like that Seinfeld episode where the proctologist had a set of vanity plates called Ass Man.
That's right. Exactly. That's what you found out who it was. So, yeah. But, yeah, they're loosening up all those things. There's all this stuff now called tele. You can go to the doctor by telephone or video now.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm like, what is that name? Like teleconference? No, it's not teleconference. It's like teledoctor, whatever. They have some fancy phrase for it right now.
Right, but they have something. I'm just going to one other thing is that I had, before all this COVID shit, I had an ear infection that was like making my right ear hurt a lot. And I just had one of these. I'm like, you want me to go do a doctor's appointment? Where I have an ear infection, do you have a microscopic video cam that's going to go into my ear and look at it? Or are you just going to say, hey, here's a bunch of drugs and go to and call me in 10 days? And that's exactly what they do.
Like, what's the point? You're like, you're a quack.
That's right. Exactly. But a whole new world, man.
Yeah. So how are things? I mean, you're spending a whole lot of time at home now with the skin dogs.
Ooh, who's the skin dogs?
Your kids, man.
Skin dogs?
Yeah, you know, people call their pets fur babies. I heard someone talk about like we can call your kids skin dogs. Now you're at home with the skin dogs.
I guess. I mean, this work for home thing is fantasy for people that don't have children. If they have children, it's basically the weekends plus your boss calling you for 8 hours during the day. And that's not a great situation, I got to tell you. But I'm glad that I can actually work from home, I guess.
And so if Joey Heaney believed in God, hell would be living, working at home with your kid, with your skin, with your skin dogs.
He hates skin dogs.
As someone who spent a good chunk of the 90s shuffling through pawn shop CD collections and used record stores, I think I've seen about 3.5 million of these back in for resale.
But I think
it was like this in that Arrested Development record that everybody got all fired up about in the early 90s. And Extreme, Three Sides to Every Story.
So one of the reasons I was looking forward to this album was a review in Rolling Stone. If I may quote from it, please.
Yeah.
All right. Generally speaking, it's time to worry when the term long-awaited gets appended to an album. Long-awaited doesn't just mean the band in question took its sweet time delivering the disc. Usually it's industry code for bloated and overblown. Except, that is, when the long-awaited release in question is the work of Def Leppard. Yet, regardless of the time spent in the studio, Def Leppard's albums never seem especially labored or overwrought.
Really?
If anything, the opposite is true. The band's music seems so effortlessly accessible that most listeners probably don't even notice the incredible amount of craft that goes into each release.
When I was, in my teen years, a buddy of mine were at one of the malls shopping for music, and he bought the first Kiss album on cassette, and when he opened it, it had Dressed to Kill on cassette on the inside.
So these packaging errors happen. Maybe the copy they got had like pyromania in it.
And, that might explain it, yeah.
Because, yeah, this sounds very overwrought and very like meticulous. And I wouldn't say it's bloated, but it seems like almost everything else they say this record isn't, it is.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep going here because I think you're going to be more amused. And thank you, Rolling Stone, for this content. There is no overriding concept to the album, no sense of the group's confronting its demons or wrestling with the problems of the world. Instead, what we get is a seemingly unending string of energetic, hook-heavy, gosh-we-love-em songs about girls. A perfect Def Leppard album, in other words. And that's not meant sarcastically, because truth be told, it's far easier to prop up several couplets of self-revelation with a few heavy metal riffs than it is to turn an idea as commonplace as romantic desire into a song as memorable and classic as Have You Ever Needed Someone So Bad?
It's memorable. Yeah, remember what I say, folks. Catchy doesn't mean good. It just means catchy.
But that's what Def Leppard does best, and Adrenalize is easily the band's most consistent effort to date. Just listen to all the sonic detail crammed into the album opening, Let's Get Rocked.
I'll agree with the consistent. This thing does not let you down from the first note to the ending. It's like listening to several really bad songs written for one record. It's very consistent.
It is. Although rhythmically, the song is an obvious descendant of Pour Some Sugar on Me, playing off a throbbing Rick Savage bassline. Stylistically,
the Sav.
Listen, stylistically, it's miles beyond the last album, full of clever puns like "Let's get the rock out of here." Special effects, for example, when Elliot complains about his girlfriend's fondness for classical music, the band mockingly answers with a snippet of Beethoven's Fifth. And all kind of stagey good humor. Yet the Leps work these gimmicks in so gracefully they never interrupt the music's flow, acting not as an unnecessary contrivances, but simply as another level of hook. Can we just call the BS meter in that this is a fucking press release written by the actual label? Because
that's my theory, yeah. I mean, because that stuff was a lot less known about back then, you know. We were, even though the grunge was heavily going, we were still a little less jaded when it came to our rock and roll publications.
Yeah, I mean, this, and by the way, they gave this 5 stars is the max you can ever, an album can ever get in Rolling Stone. That's known as a classic. 4 is excellent, 3 is good. This got 4.5 stars. And at this point, this review and me purchasing this album made me cancel my Rolling Stone subscription. This combined with the whole thing where they didn't even mention Eric Carr's death and all this other kind of stuff. It kind of just slowly showed what a sham that magazine was. But this is exactly what you and I are sent all the time by email about a new album's release from like a press release, right? How it's written.
That definitely reads like a press release, not like an actual review.
Yeah. So
I'm sick of all this. Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.